I'm going to be over in 1 Corinthians, 1 chapter. I'm going to put something upon my heart before I get into what I want to speak about this morning, you know? And I know there's so much going on. I know there is. And I want to tell you something this morning. You know, the Bible tells me, and I know, I'm going to tell you, this guy right here you're looking at does not have all the answers. I hope you understand that. I do not have all the answers. All I have is I can direct you to somebody that has them. Amen? My Bible tells me that all things work to good for them that love the Lord. I believe that. I can't explain it. I cannot stand up here and tell you that I understand that. But I stand upon that. All things work together for them that love the Lord. And I'll tell you something else that I believe too. The fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm going to tell you here this morning, you know, I would not have nobody else praying for me than the people in this church. If you have needs, if you have something going on in your life and something is dragging you down, I believe that we've got people in this church that can reach God. I believe that. And they can reach God on your behalf. And if we just take all the scripture into account and say, God, you know what? You know what? I believe that you're working this out for my good. There's a song that I've wanted my wife to sing here. For my good and for your glory. Have you ever heard that song? You know, it means so much. And it tells a story that, you know what? Praise God. If we just hold on to that this morning. You know what? Sometimes the answers that we want, maybe not are not the answers that, you know, that God wants. Do you understand that? It's His will. There's so much that involves His will. I'm going to be able to, but the question I want to ask is Christianity reasonable? That's the question I want to ask you this morning. And I want you to just really think about that this morning as we get down through this. Let us pray. Father, as I come, Lord, this morning, I come with a broken and a sad heart this morning. Lord, I just ask you, Father, this morning, that you would take a hold here this morning, Lord. That you would do what was needed here this morning, Lord. I pray that you would do that. I love you. I love you for all that you've done, Lord, in our lives. I love you for what you've done in our church. And Father, I believe that you're able to keep that which we've committed unto you. I believe that this morning. Father, I ask you, Father, now to go with the service, go with the message. Open the hearts the way that it should be. We'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. Amen. Is Christianity reasonable? That's the question I want to ask yourself this morning. And I'm going to talk about something. I want to tell you the story about a guy that's a dishonest manager. And you know what? He was needing to hire somebody for an accounting position that was opening up at his firm. He had three very qualified individuals. They were all well-educated. And he was bringing them in for interviews, and he's going to interview each one of them. So he went down through all three of them. The first one was a woman, the interviewer. They engaged in the normal things that interviews talk about. They told him about what the benefits offered and everything that they expected out of him. And he got down to the last question he wanted to ask him. Now remember, this guy's a dishonest manager. Remember this. And he asked him, he said, what does 2 + 2 equal? He asked this girl. You know, you can imagine this woman, she's well-educated. She looks at him very startled. She looks at him kind of confused. Then she gathers herself and she says, you know what, 2 + 2 = 4. That's very obvious. The manager thanked her, got up and escorted her out. That's not what he wanted to hear. So he comes to the next guy. He asks him, and this is the gentleman that comes in. He asks him, he has the same line, the same bit. He goes down through everything and then he asked him, he said, what is 2 + 2? He said, well, there's several possibilities. 2 + 2 could be 4. He said 3 + 1 = 4. You know, he said there's just different ways that you can come to that conclusion. And the manager thought for a minute. He said, well, that's a pretty good explanation, a good reply. He said, I may get back with you. I may get back with you on that. He told him that. So he comes to the third guy and he brings him in, goes through the same spiel, tells him, you know what? He said, everything. Then he comes down to the question. He says, what is 2 + 2? This guy kind of looks at him, kind of startled for a minute, gets up out of his chair, kind of looks at him, looks around the room, then leans across the desk, and he says, whatever you want it to be. And he'd give him the job. You see what I mean? You see what I'm saying? I would like to ask you the question this morning. Do you think Christianity is reasonable? Is it logical? And I'm going to get to my point of why this, what this goes along with this story. Can you and I hang our hats on what our faith says that we can hang our hats on this morning? Can you say that this morning? Can we do that? The answer to that question may well depend on this. What answer are you looking for this morning? Do you get what I'm saying? What would you like the answer to be this morning if Christianity is reasonable? If Christianity is logical? It may depend on what you're looking for as an answer here this morning. I don't know. You see, Christianity offers the answers you're looking for, then it is reasonable. But if Christianity doesn't offer the answers that you are looking for, it very well may mean that it's unreasonable to you, and that it's not very logical to you this morning. Because it doesn't offer the kind of answer that you want to hear. Listen, you know what? Paul preaches, we preach Christ crucified. It said it was a stumbling block to the Jews, and it was foolishness to the Gentiles. The cross is a stumbling block to many people this morning. It's not reasonable to them. It's not logical to them this morning. That's what Paul tried to say. He said, it's foolishness to a lot of people. You know what? In fact, there are some people that the message of the cross, you know what? It makes people uneasy. It makes them very annoyed. And it can even make them upset whenever the message of the cross of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because it is not the answer. It's not what they want to hear. It's not what they want to hear. Sometimes they're even downright nasty about it. I wrote down some examples of some people who thought that the cross was nothing but just a bunch of foolishness. There was a Roman historian one time that called Christianity a superstition. That's what he said. It was in some of his one of the Roman historians. You know who Sigmund Freud? Most of you have heard of him, I'm sure. He believed that religion in general, but specifically that Christianity was a psychotic illness. That's what he believed. Tell you what, now listen to this, and come up a little bit closer to our time. You remember Janet Reno, who used to be the Attorney General here in the United States? Whenever she was being asked about what represents a cult or what makes a cult, this is some of the things she said. And she said she didn't say this to every circumstance, she said this is what it may entail. She said this: those who homeschool their children, those who accumulate survival food and had a strong belief in the Second Amendment, those who distrust the government, big government, she said. And she said this to finish it up: one who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attend Bible studies, and who give a high level of financial giving to Christian causes. All these could constitute being a cult. I'll tell you what, I got three of the five. Amen? I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in it strongly. I tell you what, I believe in what the Bible tells me. Amen. Praise God, I do that. And I'll tell you something else. You know what? I am one of those that has a big mistrust sometimes for big government. I do. But I'm going to tell you all right now, if they want to call me a cult, they very well may go ahead and do that. I'll tell you what I call myself. I call myself a born-again, bumped-of-the-blood Christian is what I call myself. I stand upon that this morning. I don't care what they say. You know what? I'm not looking for their answers. I'm looking for the answers that Jesus Christ can give me. You see, people like that Roman historian, people like Sigmund Freud and Janet Reno, you know, are just a few of those who are offended in the message of the Christ, of the cross, and how that the cross of it. They're offended in it. They're offended by it. And I'll tell you what, there's lots of people out there who are offended in it because it's not the answer that they want to hear for the problems of mankind, what's going on in this country. They don't want to hear. I'll tell you what, I am here to tell you this morning that if people would look to the cross, if they would look to Jesus Christ for the answers and for what's going on in their life, praise God this morning, I believe more of the problems in this country and in the world would be solved. I believe that. I'm not one of those that want to be so dogmatic about things, but I'll tell you what, when it comes down to wherever I'm serving and taking up for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I am very dogmatic about that. I am very dogmatic about that. Yet for those of us who understand the cross means, and like it says, we know that the cross of Christ is what? And it tells us that it is the power of God. Praise the Lord this morning. I tell you what, I never knew what power was until I come to realize Jesus Christ in my life. And then I got to find out what power was. I understood what it meant to have the salvation of the Lord, the Spirit of God flood my soul. I realized that that was not nonsense. I've told you, and Ryan very well reminds me of this, 40 years ago, when I come to know the Lord, I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I was just like these people here. I was looking for answers in all other different directions, but praise God, when I come to know Him, I found the answers that I was looking for. Paul wrote, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Exactly. That's what it is to me and you this morning. That's what it means to us. The cross is the right answer. Am I right? It is. If it is the answer you're looking for. Amen. If you are here this morning and you're looking for answers in your life, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The cross. Yeah, we're just a week from Easter. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Christ is still risen. He's still saving souls. He still loves us. He still wants to give you the answers to the problems in your life. Praise God this morning. I tell you, I don't know where you stand. I don't know your heart this morning. But I know this. Jesus Christ is the answer to the problems in your life. He is it. For most of the world, that is not the answer that they're looking for. That is not the answer that they're looking for. They come to me and they want answers to problems in their life. And if you tell them about Jesus, that's not the answers that they want to hear. They think that it's some kind of magical pill that you could take or something else that you could do to give them the right answers that they want to hear. They want to have peace of mind in their own way. But I'm telling you what, this morning you've got to come the way of the cross. You have to do it. Many people only want an answer that will give them control of their lives. That's what all they want. That's all they want. They want to be in charge. The Bible offends them because it declares our lives are to be controlled by who? Are to be controlled by God. The moment that I got saved, I give up control of my life to somebody that knew better for me than what I knew. Believe you me. I thought I knew what was good for my life. I thought I knew what was best for my life. I had no idea until I come to know Jesus as my personal Savior. But you know what? He's the one that has the answers to my life. He's the one that has control over my life. The Bible declares that God bought you with a price. You are bought with a price and you are not your own. Am I right? 1 Corinthians 6:20. Ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. What's it say? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? They are God's. If you are a Christian, if you're claiming to be a Christian here this morning, God owns you.
Amen.
Am I right? He owns you this morning. You are not your own no more. If you accept the answer of the cross, you concede authority over your life over to Christ. You secede it. That's what you do. That answer doesn't set well with a lot of folks. I can tell you that right now. I tell you what, I could preach this in a lot of churches today and they'd run me out. That don't go well with a lot of churches today. You know what? Many even reject belief in God because they don't want someone else in control of their life. They reject it sometimes. Or if they do believe in God, they don't want a God who wants the man's change in their life. You know what? I often wonder about that. You know, people often think that, you know what, they've got to change their life before they come to God. That ain't the way it works. You give Him everything that you got. You come and you give Him everything you got. And I guarantee you, there will be change in your life if you are a born-again Christian. There will be change in your life. Oh, you say, well, you're going to look different. You know what? You very well may dress different. You very well may look different in some aspects. You're the same person on the outside, but I guarantee you on the inside, you will be different. There will be a change in your life. You know what? They want a God who will change for them. I'm going to tell you something this morning. The God that I serve is not going to change to suit your needs this morning. Amen? He's not going to change to whatever you want to do in your life. That's not the way it works. They want to say how their lives are run. And I'm going to tell you this morning, that's not the way it works with God. That was the problem of the Jews of that day. You know what? Paul wrote that, and the Jews, he said that they demanded a miracle. Let's read verse 22, I believe where it is. And the Jews required a sign. They wanted something miraculous to happen. And you may be sitting back or asking, well, did not Jesus do many miraculous things while he walked on this earth? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. The dead were raised because of him. You know what? The sick were healed. He said, remember he fed 5,000 with this a few loaves of fish and bread? All the miracles that they seen Jesus do. The Jews said that Paul saying, for the Jews required a sign. Why? Because you know why? What Jesus told us back then, the reason that they were following him. They were following him right there and going about following him at that time was because of the miracles that he was doing. It wasn't because of the message behind it. They were following him because of the miracles he was doing. Because he did, and listen to what happened. When after all the miracles ceased, after they'd hung him on that cross, after he died, you know what? Where were the followers in? Where were all that multitude that heard his message? You know what? They were following him for one reason, what they could get out of him. Amen? What they could get out of him. And brothers, I'm going to tell you something this morning. That wasn't the answer that they wanted. They wanted him to take charge. They wanted him to continue to do these miracles. But we know the cross was not the answer they were looking for. They didn't think that God would allow anybody like that to go to a cross and die for their sins. They didn't believe that. Praise God, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I believe that he did that.
Amen.
I believe this morning that you know what? Praise God this morning that he went to die on that cross for every single individual that's in here this morning. There's your answer.
Amen.
God didn't answer their prayers in the way they wanted, in the time that they wanted. There are people the exact same way today. Do you know that? They get mad at God. They get mad at Jesus because their prayers were not answered just exactly the way that they wanted, in the manner that they wanted, in the time frame that they wanted. So there in turn, they get mad at Jesus. They get mad at God. They refuse to go to church. They refuse to do this thing. But praise God, I tell you what, Jesus is the answer. He's still more than all that. I hope you get what I'm trying to say here this morning. Sometimes the answer that you are looking for is not the way that it is. Not the way that it is. It's not the way that it will be. It's not the way that it will be. That's why I hear this so many times. I believe this. God's will be done. Do you understand? We come to perfect faith in our life. We come to the knowledge of perfect faith when we say, God, not my will, but your will be done. That is the answer. That is the answer. They're hurt. They felt betrayed by God, and they walk away. I tell you what, I told you there earlier, I said, I believe people in this church, I believe that I want people in the church to pray for me above anybody else. You know that? Because I know there are people that reach God. And why do we walk away from church when we get hurt, when the people are there who can pray and reach God can help us? As long as God did what they wanted to do, they were willing to follow. But the moment that he didn't, they were ready to turn their back on him. They'll tell you that wasn't what they signed up for. You know what you signed up for? Get this. Listen to this. You know what you signed up for? When Jesus Christ came into your heart and saved you, you know what? You are fit subjects for the kingdom of heaven right there. That whenever you die and you go out of this world, you can be with him forever and ever and ever. You'll not have to worry about the pain, the sickness, the sin is brought upon this world. And all the things that happen. That's what we signed up for. We need to keep that in mind. We need to keep it in mind. Praise God. Well, that one more. Listen, the cross declares that life won't always turn out the way that you want it, but that life will ultimately, listen to this, life will ultimately turn out the way God wants it to be. You believe that this morning? I believe it. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. It said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Show me one person, show me one family that has not had issues, has not had trouble in them sometime during their lives. We all face it, do we not? We all face a Christian and non-Christian life. We face each trouble. But you know what? God is there with us every step of the way. If we know where the, if we got the questions and we're looking for the right answers, He is there every step of the way for us. Amen? He is there. I praise God for that this morning. He is there. The cross declares that this world will be hard. You will have troubles. It declares that. But there's something better waiting for us. The world looks for an answer because you know why? It allows them to be wise. It allows them to be the ones that are in charge. It talks about verse, same verse 22, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's all they did. The Greeks, and what he's talking about is the Gentiles, the Romans, the Greeks. What he's talking about, that's what this world's saying. You know what? I have my phone on me. I can search in that phone and I can find anything that I want to find in a matter of seconds. Am I right? I can push the speaker on that thing and I can talk into that phone and that phone will bring up anything that I ask it to bring up. A little computer right in my hands. That's just what it does. I mean, I can look up scripture in a heartbeat. If I'm thinking of something, I can take that phone and I can talk into it and it'll bring up scripture just like that. I do it all the time. But you know what Paul wrote? The Greeks looked for wisdom. They wanted to be able to understand the world and their terms according to their wisdom. They wanted to put God in a box is what they wanted to do. They wanted their knowledge and their wisdom to be able to take God and that they could understand it with their mind. You know what? Like some want to put God in a box today, amen? They do the same thing. He thinks differently than we do. He acts it. Isaiah 55:8-9. You all know this scripture. And it says here, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when you see or hear someone, you know what, trying to make the Bible fit their lifestyle and their way of thinking, it's not unlike what the Greeks were doing back then. There's nothing there. I heard a scripture mentioned earlier, and I believe it. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. Nothing. Technology may have changed things a little bit because we can get it quicker. But you know what? The hearts of men have not changed. The thoughts of men have not changed. It's the same as it's been since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. I tell you, things are not changed whatsoever. They're still trying to think and figure out God on their own terms, and it's not going to happen. That's why you'll hear people today say things like, the Bible is outdated. That's why you'll hear people today say, you know what, it doesn't fit their lifestyle today. The Bible doesn't fit it today. You know that? And so it contradicts itself. That's a new one today. The Bible always contradicts itself. I've never found the Bible to contradict itself whatsoever. I had never have. Although people try to make it out that it does, I never have. What they're trying to say is the Bible doesn't have the answers that they were looking for is what it's trying to say. The message of the cross is the answer, folks. The message of the Bible stays the same. It is a cross. It stays the same. Amen. It always will. Just not to answer, but they want to hear. Listen to Romans 1:22-32. You've heard the scripture a lot lately. You know what it talks about. But I'm not talking about the specifics of this. I don't want you to listen to why this happened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Did you get that? The world today is professing themselves to be wise. They think they're smarter than God. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Listen to verse 25, the first part. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. You get that? The Bible says, first off, that professing themselves to be wise, it says going down in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What are they trying to do today? They try to change the Word of God, make it fit what their questions, their answers, make it fit their answers. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile afflictions. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men and men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. I guess, listen to verse 28, the first part. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, and whispers, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, verse 31, the first part, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural afflictions, impeaceable, unmerciful, listen to this, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Did you get the theme down through there? They thought that they were smarter than God. They think that they know better than what God knows. They're looking for these answers. The answers are here, but it's not the answers that they want to hear. My God isn't based on my wisdom and on my perception of life. You get that? My God is based on the Word of God. My God is based on the Spirit of God coming into my life. That's what my God is based on, in His Word. I've been praying about this, and I want to preach one of these Sundays on the Bible. The Bible in general, and the different translations of the Bible. God has been dealing with me on this. And I want to preach on this, and I will get to that eventually. But we're going to, I'll tell you, I've been thinking about it and praying about it. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Praise God this morning. Know what you believe. Stand upon what you believe. But when you're looking for questions and looking for questions, make sure you're just not looking for the answers that you want to hear, but it's the answers that come from God's Word alone. I'll tell you what. I will get into trouble. I will get into trouble, and you will get into trouble also. If you try to make the Word of God fit your way of thinking, you're going to get into trouble. We need to make sure that we have God's Word, that it permeates every bit of our thinking in our life. That's what we need to do. The world's looking for answers that will give them strength on their terms. Verse 25 tells us, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than that. Have you ever been around anybody who likes to embellish their story a little bit? Have you ever been around anybody like that? They like to embellish the story a little bit to make themselves look good. Oh yeah, there's lots of people like that out there. If they tell you a story about themselves, they come across as the heroes, right? They want to make sure that they come across as a hero. Some folks don't like being come across as being weak. That's the main thing. They don't like being shown as having failed. They don't like hearing that they've messed up in their lives. Some people don't like that. You know what? They know that they've messed up, and they just don't like hearing or seeing it. You know what? Jesus came to die for those who failed. Do you believe that? Jesus came for the weak and the broken. Jesus came for the losers in life. You guess what? You got me. Amen? Jesus came for the losers in life. Praise God this morning. You know what? You know, because of our weakness sometimes, that's what God uses. He uses the weak things. He uses the base things in life to confound those who are weak and those who think they are all this and that. Listen to me. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should do what? Should boast. Boast. All righteousness is a filthy rags this morning. Oh, well, again, let me ask you, do you think Christianity is reasonable? I think it is. If you're looking for the right answers, I believe Christianity is more than reasonable. God sent His Son to die on a cross, and all that He asked out of you is to accept Him into your life. Repent. That's what He asked. And then after you repent, He's asking you to live a life according to the Word of God. Is that so unreasonable? Is it so unreasonable? Is it so intolerant? I don't think so. I don't think so whatsoever. And I ask you here this morning, praise God, do you know Jesus? As Ephesians said right there, you know what? Do you know Jesus this morning as your Savior? Do you sleep well at night? Let me ask you that. Do you struggle with sleeplessness because of things you've done or said? Do you feel good about yourself? And let me ask you something else. The last question, the most important question. Do you believe that if you died right now, you'd be able to stand confidently before God? Let me ask you that. I mean, you know that question this morning in your heart. I can get up here and preach every Sunday. Preach the Word of God every Sunday. I can get up here and say, read the Scripture, for God so loved the world every Sunday. John 3:16. But you know what? Ultimately, you answer this question yourself. If you stood before God, could you stand before Him with all confidence, knowing that your sins are under the blood? If that's Christianity is unreasonable because of that, then you're just going to have to take that one with you. I don't think it is. So if you have a need this morning, please come.